It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champions Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast here from Champions on Baxter. I'm joined by former Georgia coach Jim Donnan and owner, founder, supreme being of Your Pie Pizza, Drew French, the guy who started the whole thing up to 48 stores now.
48 on
Friday. 48 on Friday. So I'm Roddy DeBulsey, the publisher of UGASports.com. Jake Roos is running the board. He'll jump in with us in a second. Big game last week. Big game, big results. I know you were at the Mississippi State game. Coach Donnan predicted what was going to happen.
Yeah.
He's like, you did.
Now, I'm having a hard time getting my eyes off this pizza, though. Let's talk about that, because I'm serious about this. And I know how my grandchildren feel about this, but you came up with a great concept, just the fact everybody make their own pizza, and it really is good, fresh, and
oh my God, this is amazing.
Hey, keep it away from this guy. We won't get any of it.
Coach, you.
You got your own favorite kind. I don't let you have any of this.
They brought us the Supreme Pizza here. Y'all got to check that out.
The Lineage.
Which is my favorite.
The Lineage. He brought the Lineage, which is Coach's favorite. My favorite's the Southern Heat, which I like. But, Drew, please tell
us. Your favorite's anything that begins with a P.
This is very true. Pizza, pie, your pie. But Drew created this concept. So you were on your
honeymoon. Yep.
And you're in Italy, and you come up with the idea of walk in, order your own pizza, and have it made for you, what, about 7 minutes, 6 minutes?
A little bit faster than that. We're cooking at such high temperatures on the brick oven.
And then you also do these specialty pizzas like this one, and this looks
smells
amazing. Yeah,
that's a loaded baked potato pie. That's not something you'd probably find in Italy, but we do our craft series.
So we got a pizza here that has slices of potato, chives, bacon. What's that drizzle?
Red onion, a little ranch, sour cream drizzle. It's delicious.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And you bacon did one to top it all off.
Yeah, bacon. And you did one with peaches, too?
Yeah, our peach and prosciutto pie. That's very popular when peaches are in season.
Oh, my God. So you've got a great concept. You have 48 stores coming this Friday. You're a huge Georgia fan. And that's the thing, folks. All of our wonderful sponsors here, 365 Game Day, where you buy all your gear. Athens Ford, a huge sponsor for us. I was out there talking to those people. They are huge Georgia fans. our fans at Founders Brewing with this dirty bastard beer here. This is mine. Keep your eyes off it, Coach. Those people, huge Georgia fans.
Shout out to Kevin Fox at Founders.
Oh, yes. There you go. Yeah, you know those guys very well. Guys at Cable East, Cable East has no reason to advertise on our show, but they're doing it because they're big Georgia fans. All the Georgia fans, including Drew French, when you support our sponsors, you are supporting Georgia people. You're supporting Georgia fans. So if you have an option to go somewhere to eat, you could eat at another pizza joint, but they're not a Georgia graduate who is doing this for Georgia fans. So be sure to swing by Your Pie and pick it up. But I do got to ask you before we get started with the show, tell me about the promo you guys are running with your app.
Sure. We've got a great promotion going on right now. We're actually teamed up with our friends at Coca-Cola.
Oh, they never support the Bulldogs.
As well as
Let him talk, Robbie.
Dogfish Head, another great brewery.
Fantastic brewery.
And we partnered up with them to give away the Dream Tailgate this year. So if you go into any of our 48 locations between now and October 12th and download and use the app.
The Your Pie app, right?
You enter to win the Dream Tailgate, which is two tickets to any college football game that Coca-Cola can get tickets for. I got to disclaimer that a little bit. And a great tailgate pack that includes a 32-inch TV, grill, cornhole set, a bunch of cool stuff, a catering gift card to a Your Pie so you can impress your friends and family with the great platters, panini platters or pizza, whatever you want to feed your...
You like sandwiches, Coach?
Your team.
No, I don't like it.
I'm just saying that the paninis are phenomenal.
Hey, you don't have to sell me on it.
I'm just saying. My point is... So basically, what you do is you download the Your Pie app.
Exactly.
Go in the store, use it, and you're entered.
You're entered
to
win.
You don't have to do anything.
Yep.
Oh, that's genius.
Entered to win.
And so you can go to any college football game that Coke can get tickets to, which It's pretty much any football game there is.
They got
and you get
wide.
You get the TV, the tent, all that stuff that goes with the grill. Oh, my God.
So,
which you can see why we have EuroPie as one of our major sponsors. Plus, they brought us a couple of our favorite pizzas, so we are set. Thanks so much for showing up, Drew.
Thanks,
real quick, before you leave.
Sure.
Give me your thoughts on that game Saturday.
Oh, my gosh. Those.
Let's get it from the fan perspective.
Yeah, those games, you know, they're rare, but when they happen, they're such a fun thing to be a part of. I was stressed until the last tick on the clock still, to be honest with you.
A true Georgia fan. We got a 5-score lead, still sweating.
You worried about him scoring a touchdown, eh?
I mean, that's just kind of comes with the territory of being a diehard fan, but I'm really loving what this team's doing this year. They have a lot of energy, a lot of excitement around the fan base, which is fun to be a part of. So we're excited to head up to Knoxville and get some revenge from the last few years.
All right, well, let's ride up there together. Drew and I, we've been on the winning side since we went to Arizona State, sitting in the back of a plane together.
Yeah.
So the guy's been around a long time. I can vouch for his Bulldog credentials. He's been one of the biggest sponsors of our show and one of the biggest sponsors of Georgia for a long time. So go to EuroPie, go to Athens Ford on your way to EuroPie, pick up some Founders beer. You know, and how
we'll
get your gear from 365 Game Day. And then, you know, when you're done eating pizza, come by Champies here on Baxter. So,
yeah.
I appreciate it, man.
Champies. Thanks.
All right. We're going to let you step out and let Big Jake step
in
here.
Good to see you.
Hey, Jake, you want to join us here? Thanks, Drew. Thanks for the pizzas.
We don't get a break to eat. I can't eat on there.
Well, you can, Coach. I mean,
yeah, I'm not going
to
do it.
You know, you're the one here who's supposed to be the you're the star of the show, so you can't exactly eat because people are here to hear you talk. Now, Jake and I are going to eat pizza and drink beer while you carry the show.
Yeah, yeah. So if you just want to start going.
You know, my –
Man, that Founders beer is phenomenal.
My neighbors in my community listen to everything you guys do and go on your site and everything and said – hey, I was looking on the site, and this guy said that you don't have any energy. Talking about me, he said, you don't have any energy. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, I just don't like to listen to him. He doesn't have any energy. So don't listen to me today. I'm only 72 years old. And, you know, I've only been on ESPN and been on all these other things, and they never told me that. But, hey, let's get going today. You're the man. I like you. I'm 72. I'm a man.
That you might make a sports center there.
Yeah, but we got your back, Coach.
Hey, I got your back. I pulled a muscle on that one. Seriously, though, I mean, am I getting an energy concept?
No, Coach, you have great energy.
Only thing I want to say is I enjoy promoting Kirby and talking about him, and that's my only reason for and the fact I like to be around you guys, and I'm hoping I can pick up some recruiting stuff with you guys so I know what's going on, because every time somebody comes out, you guys give me the lifeblood of them. So hey, I enjoy it.
Well, speaking of recruiting,
people got opinions on everything, so I understand that maybe I don't have enough energy, but I do like talking about the dogs.
You have plenty of energy. Georgia had plenty of energy this past weekend, and right now you got to wonder, can they keep that momentum going into the Tennessee game? One of my friends was pointing out how in 1997 Georgia, you know, had beat Mississippi State quite handily, and then turned around and had a kind of a letdown weekend against Tennessee.
Well, Peyton Manning wasn't.
But I was just about to say, but there was a Peyton Manning.
But I think that's something that I really feel good about, the sense of direction here from a coaching perspective, is that you know, this team is building game by game, and they're developing a kind of a MO, you know, really solid defense, very good kicking game, and offense that protects the ball. And that's a winning formula for any team, whether you're playing at home or on the road. And the thing that everybody's going to keep reminding, I think, this week to Kirby to the players is, hey, we're pretty much in the same position Mississippi State was last week after a tremendous home win over a ranked team like they did over LSU. And, hey, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Everybody patting you on the back, and just keep working like you have been and keep developing depth, and know that we're getting some players back like Parrish, which was huge last week. We talked about it on our show here about the ability to play nickel and dime defense with him in there. It lets you play that because you got a lot of confidence in his cover skills. and the other players don't have to make up for somebody else that hadn't been playing much. So our pass coverage was outstanding last week, among other things.
The secondary was phenomenal because Georgia took away the run right off the bat. We predicted this last week. We said Georgia's going to stop the run, contain Nick Fitzgerald, make him beat you with his arm. That puts your secondary in some scary spots.
Yeah, I just thought a lot of times momentum, we talk about it, but I thought the whole tone for the game was set on the first play when we kicked off in the end zone. Then the first play, Lowe gets that 5 or 6 yard stop behind the line. So crowd was in it anyhow. But, now there's a lot of pressure on them to make a first down, and then we get the ball. And just a tremendous executing of what we call 34 yo-yo, but a lot of people call it flea flicker. But it's like a yo-yo. Bring it back. But tremendous execution, first by the line, making it look like a run. And then Nick, it's very difficult to get a guy that can really get the ball to the quarterback in rhythm on that, to take the handoff, run up there, and then turn and flip it to him. The whole key is staying low on your pitch and really following through so he can get some momentum with the ball so he can catch it and hitch up and throw it, because you got to hit that guy in stride because the defense is going to react and try to catch him. A lot of times these are underthrown, but really good execution by Terry, kind of lulling them to sleep and then sprinting by him, and it was a
throw too.
It was perfect, right on the money, and it's what you needed. You talk about if anybody that went to the bathroom before the game started and got in line there, we missed a heck of a start. So,
Coach, I wanted to ask you. Kirby kind of downplayed, I think, the significance of this after the game, as he is wont to do in some of these situations, but. How important for momentum is it when you can come out and strike like Georgia did on that first play? What does that do to the other? Yeah, what does that do to the other team?
Well, it definitely gets a little anything that they had as far as confidence of thinking they can do it just about anything against you. Is all of a sudden there's some doubt that creeps in there because hey, this team is better than we thought, and they do have all these players, and they're well coached and everything. So that's the biggest thing you want to establish with the home field is don't let that other team think that you have some deficiencies that they can take care of. So you want to come out smoking if you can, but there's a lot of times where it doesn't work. If you drop that pass or you underthrow it or it doesn't work, you're second and 10, and then you're maybe punting too. But yeah. I just want to, without getting out of forgetting about it, I just can't say enough about our net punts this year. The way able to – the ball looks like it's coming out of one of those machines that the kicking machine. It comes out so high, and the coverage is all around it. And it's just very comforting to know that every time, right so far, that we're getting these net punts. And, that helps your play calling a little bit because, if you're not worried about your punt coverage and all, and you got a defense that's shutting everybody down, that really helps a lot. And we're playing around the our defense and our kicking game and playing relatively conservative. But I did feel like that Coach Chaney, and we mentioned that last week, that he had some things in the package, like showing Chubb running to the weak side out of the wild dog, which is brilliant because, they're overshift to the tight end side and he runs weak.
You're expecting them to run behind all that power.
Right, yeah. And it was just tactically a game where we saw a reminiscent of a lot of Todd Grantham's defenses in the third and fourth quarter. They were doing in the first and second quarter. Hey, what are they doing out here?
Well, you caught them flat-footed on that first play, and I think that just got into their head, because they were on the road and some doubt crept in. Then that second drive was right down the gut.
Yeah, that was the picturesque. That's good about a second drive, if you don't show anything on your first drive, then everything you plan, you can use on your second drive,
and you've
already got 7 points. So, any adjustments that they're over there talking about, watch the flea flicker and all that, they're probably not going to work it on again. But sometimes these kids are a little, all of a sudden, they're antsy about playing deep. And I think that really helps Fromm a lot because a first and second down run pass option, not the read run pass option, but being able to run our pass on first and second down. just really helps his percentage, because we've said it before, he's not a Tom passer who's going to get back there and throw darts on third and 12 and all like that. And there's not many of them out there. Most of them are in the pros that can do that. But we need to stay ahead of the sticks and utilize his ability to run the club and not get in those situations where you have to pass. And I thought we caught a couple of draws in critical situations where one time we made the first down, and the other time we punted. But, hey, there's no need giving them a chance for an interception there.
Well, going to your point about the punting thing, I think Georgia right now has given up a negative 4 yards on punt returns.
So how does that work out on net punting?
Yeah, I'm just saying, for the entire year,
no,
it's
great.
A negative number.
It's
not like they've given up 10 yards, 12 yards. They're at minus 4. So that your net punting is actually
– So when you go to your goals for the year and you talk about things like no in a game, like no penalties in the kicking game, from the standpoint of don't line up offside, don't jump offside, don't block in the back, you know, things like that that just negate a lot of things that can happen positive, we just haven't had a lot of that. We did have a block in the back on a kickoff return, but – the thing that's happening is you're flipping the field. You're not only flipping it from a standpoint of making the defense go the long way, but it's shortening how far your offense needs to go. And the number one thing that our offense has shown in every game is the ability to make a big play.
Yeah.
And we talked about last year that didn't happen much. And so it's hard to march the ball if you don't make some big plays.
Well, you had some huge catches, you know, Terry Gowan, Javon Wims, you know,
Isaac Nada.
And I want to go back to that Isaac Nada play, talking about a third down situation where you're not sure what you're going to get, and it looks like you're about to run power. You have three tight ends on the field.
Right.
And not only is Isaac Nada running free, but Christian Payne is wide open.
Right.
And there's a quarterback. You're sitting back there, and you've got your choice on either one. Again, a great play call that Todd Grantham just didn't seem to be ready for.
In that case, I didn't think he had much of a choice because he had to hurry it. But I'm going to give Jake a lot of love here, because one of the things you tell your quarterback, if we're calling a play action pass on third down, we're trying to catch them, obviously, third and one or two. We're trying to hit the big play first. That's our number one goal. And then we got the fail safe in the flat. But what you've got to do is you teach your quarterback, which Coach Chaney did a good job. Don't be near as worried about making a great fake as compared to having your feet set good enough where if the guy's wide ass open, you can hit him. And in that case, he just kind of showed him the ball, and Nick did that. But he got back there and let go of it, and he had some real good pressure on him.
Yeah.
But it was a good example of coaching. You don't want to watch the film and say, hey, if you hadn't tried to make such a good fake, we'd have had a touchdown. He did an average fake. But which is okay. Who cares? The fake is you got three tight ends and all that. But the big part for a quarterback, it's like this part here. If you run a naked bootleg where I fake to you and then come out to the right, you're counting on that end to collapse.
Exactly.
But you're
if
also
not, it's gonna kill you.
But you're also saying, what if? Mm-hmm. What if he's coming? So I always say, after you make your whirly, after you hand it to him and you whirl around, expect the guy to be coming so you can get rid of it. But if you come out there and thinking the guy's going to be faked out, and you're not supposed to be eating any of this fried stuff now, man. I thought you were on the – now I'm going to talk him out of that. He decided he's doing good. How are you doing? Good to see you. So glad to see him up and running here. But the point is – come out of your whirly looking for the worst thing that can happen. Then if it is happening, you're not surprised.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Don't mention
Jake.
Naked bootlegs on Tennessee week.
Okay. All right.
we got a couple of questions rolling
let's
in.
Let's roll these questions.
Let's hit on some of them. Chris Davis.
And he's going to have a little beer here.
Before we get to Chris Davis's question, I'm drinking one of the founder's beers
that
here.
That is the Dirty Bastard.
The Dirty Bastard. And I'm telling you, this is phenomenal. And
which coach is that named after?
I don't know, but I think he's sitting with us.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Hey, that's an energy drink, isn't it?
Yeah, it is
an energy drink.
Gotta wake you up.
Pick up some energy.
I need an energy drink here. We got to get a sponsor for an energy drink.
Yeah, we need some Monster.
A Red Bull.
5-hour energy, yeah. Red Bull. Hey, we can get you a Red Bull, I'm sure.
Nah, I'm all right with the energy.
All right, Coach, Chris Davis wants to know, he says, you know, what do you tell this team going into this Tennessee game to prevent, I guess, a letdown or them not being ready to play? Because I think his concern is that, you know, Tennessee struggled against UMass last week.
Forget about it. All you got to do is show them the last 2 years. Who won the game?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who won the last two games?
Yeah.
The next 2 weeks, who beat us last year? Two teams. State of Tennessee, we're 0-2. So our players know that. Let me tell you, all you got to do, and I noticed that Kirby was talking about it, that when they work on prevent defense on Thursday, all you got to do is say to this, man, do you remember how you felt last year about 6 o'clock on Saturday afternoon after that Tennessee game, a game that we had them 17-0, a game that we ended up throwing a long pass, and then they come back in 11 seconds to go and beat us? We don't ever want to feel like that again. So I don't think there's any – I don't think our team's going to overlook anybody because these guys practice hard now. I'm telling you, these guys, he's got the whip out. Don't take that literally. He doesn't have a whip, but he's got
– I've heard his voice, though. It's a whip crack when he comes over and yells because he doesn't
just
yell as defensive
guys. The thing about
guys.
It, that if you wanted to loaf – and the coach missed you, you can't because they got these GPSs on the guy and they know how far you've run and what you've done and what your output is and what your – we used to have a deal when I was coaching where we'd have an extra camera up there. You know, we have the end zone shot and nothing, but we had the eye in the sky, we called it, and it would just randomly look at guys and see if they were loafing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you run that and then we showed that to the team and you were on that – you felt lower than Wellman. You were right there.
Coach Rick,
and that was
the same
what
thing.
Everybody used to say about you. You just didn't put out. You didn't have enough energy to practice.
What do you? Yeah, we got Coach loafing on the show. So what do you? Kind of run laps around champions here on Baxter. Right.
What do you make of this Tennessee team, though? I mean, is it? I mean, where do the problems stem from?
I think here's a couple things. They missed out on a great opportunity last year when they were pretty much loaded, and then at the end of the year they had some injuries. I'm going to take up for them from that standpoint. And then this year they got off to just a very fortunate start with that game against Tech. But they've had some real injuries in their linebacking core, and they're just not very deep in their front. They're not very good on defense. Offensively,
they're trying to find their offensive philosophy?
They're trying to find an identity. That's right. I mean, they got a guy that's never called plays before. He's a good coach. I talked to Coach Coley about him. He was at Miami with him. He was an interim coach when they got let go, and they did a great job. But they're trying to, their combination of a spread and a power attack, and they just can't find a real good feel for what they want to do. And here's the bottom line: if you're coaching at Tennessee, in my mind, there's four teams that you've got to beat, just like the ones we got to beat here, with Tech and Auburn and Tennessee and Florida.
Sure.
They got to beat Vanderbilt in their state. Well, he's 2-2 against Vanderbilt. They got to beat Georgia on a contiguous deal that's a big rivalry. He's 2-2 against Georgia. So he's 4-4 in those games, and they got to beat Alabama and Florida. He's 0-4 against Alabama, and he's 1-4 against Florida. So you add that up, he's had 5 wins and all the other losses, and then you add the fact that their record is like 9-20 in the conference on the other teams. I mean, he's averaging about 1 win a year against his rivals and then very few in the others. So a lot of his wins have been against lesser opponents.
Well, and how
and he inherited a tough situation. I'm going to take up for him there, but.
But, at this point, I mean, it's almost fully his guys, his philosophy.
Yeah, for him, he Malzahn, Stoops, and Bielema came in the same time.
Right.
And Malzahn's the only one even close to being – you're not going to eat any of that right now.
I'm just pulling closer because I want to –
Malzahn's the only one that's even close to being he got to the national championship. Bielema's way under 500 and in the conference and way under 500. And he's like 2 games under 500 in the whole deal. And Stoops last week, I mean, come on. You get paid $4 million in 2 different times. You didn't have anybody lined up on a guy at that wide receiver. That's the way Florida gets those touchdown passes. They say, okay, here's the call, Nut Roddy.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to try to line up in some kind of funky formation and hope they don't cover you on the outside. And if they don't, we're going to hit you for a touchdown. They did that twice.
Were they crazy formations? Because the guy standing out there on the sideline was actually waving to the quarterback like, I'm wide
and it's after
open.
A timeout, too.
Yeah.
So well, we always had a call for that because you don't want to come in and watch the film and say,
like cover that guy.
But it's just what we say. Our call was freeze, freeze. That alerted the line that they don't do anything. They don't have to block. They don't do it. Just don't move. because the quarterback's going to take a quick snap and he's going to throw it out to the wide guy. Yeah. So it's a freeze deal. We did a lot on punts. If you had a spread punt and they thought they're going to try to block it, you know, you just step up and snap it to the searchlighter, and he just throws it out to the wide guy.
Oh, nice.
We got a question here from David Elliott. He says, Coach, last weekend had to be great for the recruits in the house. Stadium was loud. Team played great. You know, how do you think that it affects it? I mean,
you can't believe how it affects it. I mean, that atmosphere, there's a lot of difference when a kid comes to your campus. Just think about it. And there's nobody in the stadium. You take them down there. Hey, what's a beautiful stadium. You ought to be here on game day. You can't create that atmosphere as compared to them actually coming to it. And I think the everybody gets caught up in it. And, you know, we used to have one or two guys that were committed, and we try to get them in the room with everybody. Hey, we're going to win together. You want to come? And guys start thinking about, hey, we got a lot of good players here. Maybe we can all get – sometimes you get one or two like that, but not as much with these five stars. But the big deal there was the symbolism to me of the guys that were here.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, when all of a sudden you look at Fields and you look at White, who are the best players among the best players in the country at their position, and then Henry, the defensive end from up in North Carolina, and then all those linemen, they start looking around and they see these guys on the field performing in the second year under this program, and then they get a good idea about it. And we had kind of like that situation at us. When I was here, I don't like to talk about what we did, but after 97, we had an unbelievable class because we were winning on the level. There's a lot of difference between talking about winning and hoping you're going to do it as compared to doing it on the field. And for Georgia to win their last five games and win them against some really good competition, I mean, that means a lot.
Well, let's point, look at this. Georgia's 3-0 in their last three games against ranked teams. You had the beatdown of Auburn. That was pretty good. Notre Dame was supposed to be big.
Beatdown. They pulled their pants down.
Yeah. and then you just ran Mississippi State out of the stadium. So, for trajectory-wise, you got to be just thrilled to death if you're a Georgia fan. But from the coaching standpoint of recruiting, as you're mentioning, because you have Justin Fields there, the five-star quarterback that you're really trying to bring
second
in.
Second week in a row.
Second week
with
in a row.
Dad.
Third time this year, I believe.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
They played
that
four
we
games.
Know of.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
He actually came here another time when, you know, when we right at that when the dead period stopped. So, and go ahead to the other list.
No, so you know, you have Zamir White, you know, Jamari Sawyer, you know, KJ Henry,
James Cook,
the other five-star running back. You have all those guys. They're sitting there in the end zone. You're watching Georgia in a game that, you know, a lot of pundits pick Mississippi State to win. Georgia's winning it, going away. The fans stay until far into the fourth quarter. The game was over
that
early.
That was good, too.
They do the whole light show, which all the fans liked. And then they're introducing, hey, welcome back, you know, Champ Bailey, Boss Bailey.
Yeah, I was talking to Ron Corson about it, and he said that we had Bailey, all the Bailey brothers, Seymour and Hines came over.
Kenny and Ronald,
came over on Friday, and then we had
Aaron Murray standing down there.
Yeah, right. Who did he pick to win that game? I'm going to tell you what, Aaron, you don't do that. You can do a lot of things, but don't pick.
Yeah, you need to pick one of these pizzas.
Yeah, and do some homework before you do a game on television.
Is this another Tommy Tuberville situation?
No, I hope not. Tommy needs to go fishing a little bit on Saturday now. But, hey, let's go to this. So I wanted to ask you, Jake. So did you get any feedback from any of these kids after they were here?
Yeah, we talked to a lot of them, actually. And, you know, the answers were pretty resounding excitement. I mean, overall, it was a bunch of guys saying, wow, you know, I was really impressed with the play that I saw. You know, what they were able to put together. All aspects seemed to be hitting on all cylinders. And really, the thing that the guy who I thought gave the most interesting quote was 2019 four-star, going to be a five-star, I think, before all said and done, Owen Papo out of Grayson. And I said
we've always thought was a big Florida State leader.
We got to get him.
And I said, what did you think about the game? And he said all he said was impressed. And I said, well, was there any particular aspect? And he said, everything.
Exactly. And the thing that happens to you is all these people that are talking about, well, let's see what Georgia's going to be able to do and all that. All right, well, let's see what Florida State's going to be able to do.
Right.
Sure.
Hey, you know, that ain't exactly an empire down there compared to what it was. You know, you got your own team that you got to beat in Clemson, and now you lose to North Carolina and North Carolina State in consecutive years at home. Yeah. So not that we would negatively recruit. We wouldn't bring that out then. But, but I do feel like
it might get mentioned somewhere along the line.
I do feel like, though, when you get a guy like James Cook in here, people don't realize that the difference now with this early signing date is you're bringing kids in for an official visit.
Yeah.
So he just didn't come up here to are we losing something here? He just didn't – when I talk about recruiting, I need you to get my back here. I need you to help me. But he's here for the whole weekend. Right. So he spent the night. He was out with the players. I know on Sunday he was taking a tour because – Ron Corson and I were doing something together, and Ron had the meeting back at 1 o'clock to go over the facilities and the training room and all that. So I said, I didn't realize he's on an official visit, and I think Henry was too. I mean, so you bring a guy in on an official visit, and I'll just compare this to a situation which was negative for us. You remember when the quarterback that signed with Auburn from Mississippi that was ended up playing pro ball. What was his name?
I know who you're talking about. I lost it.
Jake, who was the quarterback that went to Auburn that was from Mississippi? Big tall Campbell. Jason Campbell.
Thank you.
We had Jason Campbell in here for a game, and we played very poorly, you know, first half against Auburn. Well, the crowd reaction was what it should have been. I mean, we weren't covering these guys very good, but his parents and all, they're listening to all that stuff in the stands. And, you know, we talked to him afterwards, say, look, we just had a bad game and all that. But, you know, that as compared to if we'd have been beating them like we beat Mississippi State the other night, it makes a lot of difference to these kids in the stands.
Well, not only that, Coach, look at those kids are sitting there watching the game, and they see a lot of talented players out there. But they're also noticing that there are freshmen all over that field. You got a freshman at quarterback. You got a freshman right tackle. You have a freshman in DeAndre Swift who's making plays. Yeah. You know, you've got freshmen in the secondary.
That's where we make this show. That's why you listen to and watch this show. Yeah. These kids don't care about that. They don't care about the players on your team as far as being able to play. They know they're going to get the opportunity.
That's my
point.
They
look at the supporting cast there, you know, and if you got good players, competition breeds success, and that Kirby's preaching that. I mean, he learned that when he was here, you know, we recruited guys to try to beat him out, just like he's doing the same.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though you don't sometimes, but you always got to constantly look at your numbers, and our numbers
are
building up.
Yeah, as fans, a lot of people are saying, well – you know, Justin Fields won't go here because there's 2 5-star quarterbacks, or, you know, KJ Henry won't go here because of, you know, who Georgia has on staff. And I try to explain to fans all the time, some recruits are concerned about your depth chart. You know, I remember, I think it was Geno Smith, one guy we knew was going to Georgia, and then Georgia signed like 6 defensive backs. You know, he was a year behind the current class, and Georgia signed 6 of them, and he goes, wow. That's a lot of kids. And they wound up going to Alabama, which it didn't really matter. But point being, some are concerned about it, some are not. But to me, to your point where you said about a month ago, if you were a true player like Justin Fields or KJ Henry, Sawyer, Trey Hill, you're not really worried about it. Because if you can't beat out those guys that are playing ahead of you or you're on the same team or you can't see the field at the college you're going to, you're never going to make it in the NFL.
Right. I think it's a moot point. I think one of the reasons why Fields would come here is I think he feels like he can play quarterback here.
Yeah.
I feel, you know, and that's nothing against Jake or Jacob.
No.
It's just the fact that, you know, he has confidence in himself. And
well, you got 2 running backs. You know, when you look at Nick Chubb and Sony Michel, DeAndre Swift's getting carries.
Right.
You know, you got packages built for him. Why wouldn't you have packages built for, you know, Justin Fields when he comes in?
Well, and it all paid off in a tangible way on Sunday afternoon as Georgia added the commitment of Rivals 250 outside
I was glad
linebacker
to see that.
Aaron Brulé.
That's an impressive-looking kid. And, you know, you go down to Louisiana and pick up a guy like that to augment the players you're getting from your own state. It just, makes a lot of – it really helps your program to get – I mean, it's pennies from heaven to get a guy like that.
I think that – and I think that Brulé is a really good fit for what Georgia wants to do and what they, the kind of guys they've been recruiting, in the fact that he can play a number of different spots on the defense. If linebacker doesn't work out, hey, this guy looks like he can play that safety or that star position. I mean, he's a guy with enough speed and enough athleticism to kind of transition all across that defense. And they found a number of those guys.
He liked those hybrid guys, and he will be the creme brulee.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right, Coach Jim Donna is fired from the UGA Sports Podcast for making puns. We have
he will be.
We have a no pun policy.
We had two good kids from LSU area down that played for us. You know, defensive back, and then defensive line.
We had one in Jonathan Abram until he went back to Mississippi State. Phil, I know a lot of the Georgia fans. I mean, the Georgia players didn't say anything about it after the game. But you got to know that they saw where he anticipated beating the brakes off of Georgia. And again, it was a cute thing, maybe, but
he would have told them in person too.
I mean, he texted back and forth.
But that doesn't.
But well, no, my point is, Coach, after the game was over, there weren't any shots taken. There weren't any.
I like
now,
that.
Now, Davin Ballamy came out and said, "Yeah, we made a statement. We talk with our helmets, not our words." You know, and that was like the. That was as close as they got to addressing.
And I saw them on the field.
They're staying on point. They're not trying to give away any.
What is beating the brakes off? What does that mean?
I don't know.
Does that mean you're keeping them from stopping something or what? I don't know. But I think a team that really reveled in the other team talking about them was Alabama going in there and dismantling Vanderbilt.
There you go.
We did it too, but I mean just. To the point where I think that was more of a case of the kid used to play with these guys. You know, we're going to see the same thing when we play Auburn. That guy talked last
Tennessee,
year.
Tennessee, you got Shaq Wiggins coming up this week.
Shaq's up there now?
Shaq's at Tennessee.
Is he playing?
He's second on string on the depth chart.
Yeah, he came in the dime package they had last week.
He's become a fixture in the SEC.
It's his third school.
This is his ninth year in college football.
Yeah, yeah. He tried to go with Grantham to Mississippi State, but they blocked that. Louisville blocked that. Yeah. And so he ended up going to Tennessee.
And again, I'm not busting on Shaq. I just thought that it was very interesting after the game where any of these players could have fired back.
You're looking for that, though. You wanted to give him some fire. You
can actually go watch my interviews. I didn't bring it up. But – I noticed that in our.
Did you have energy when you were interviewing him?
I had a lot of energy, Coach. Okay. I had one of these beers.
So, but seriously, I think it's good that we, you know, these kids.
But they're staying on point.
They are, and they know.
That would have been
like
so easy
expect,
to take a shot.
Expect to win, and then when you do win, win with class, and that's.
Act like you've been there.
Right. That's a good way to say it.
You know.
Well, we got some more questions here.
Yeah, we do. Mostly people are talking about, you know, looking ahead to this Tennessee game. This idea of, you know, what are the keys to this game? Obviously, Tennessee struggled, but, you know, you've kind of got them backed into a corner. So I think people are worried that they can come out and you know, really kind of rally around the program, the coach, and put a performance together.
Yeah, we've seen teams playing for their coach before.
Yeah, that happens.
And then throws all your predictions out the window.
Yeah, that you know, I would think that they're going to use the approach. Hey, we're going to get in this bunker mentality. We're going to all hang together, and we're not worried about what everybody else is saying. We're going to do all we can to hang together, and we're going to play a game where we're going to hopefully create some turnovers and get some advantages with some, you know, whatever it might be. That's what you got to look. Every coach that I've ever coached against or been involved with, you feel like there's a way for you to win the game. A lot of times it's for the other team for sure to lose it.
Yeah.
And they got to look at it like that. But, you know, we have a very imposing-looking film-type team, though. When you look at our players and the speed and velocity they play with on defense, it's pretty tough to be sitting there and the O-line coach talking to you and say, hey, you need to block this guy. You say, Coach, you got any ideas how I'm going to block Trent Thompson? what am I going to do about Carter when he comes off the edge like this? But you got to get some idea. Well, you say, hey, we're going to give you some help. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Okay, well, if I do that, then who's going to take care of Roquan here? And then if that happens, who's
got Carter?
So you
got
to base your whole plan. If you're throwing the ball, how are you going to launch it? then who are you going to attack in the secondary? Well, our best corner now is back and healthy and playing. Mm-hmm. So now it's hard to get a gauge on that. So it's not mission impossible, but it's a difficult deal. I know I used to – when we used to play in Nebraska, I couldn't sleep, I mean, probably 3 weeks before the game started, worrying about blocking guys like Thompson and Neil Smith. You know, it was a defensive tackle that had arms longer than anybody I've ever seen. And so I told this one guy that played guard for us, I said, you know, we're going to have this plan and everything. And you got to remember, Neil Smith is the seventh guy picked in the draft by the Denver Broncos. Maybe he wasn't. And he was in the top 10. So the first drive, I always got the guys on the phone and talked to them a little bit, you know, a little bit about what we could do and what we couldn't do because, you know, get a gauge for it. So I'm ready for him to say, Coach, I need some help. I need this. And it's Anthony Phillips. He was a really good guard for us. And I got on the phone. I'm up there at Lincoln. You know, I'm sweating like a kamikaze pilot up there trying to make it. And I said, what do you think, Anthony? He said, Coach, I own that SOB. I said, what? He said, you call anything you want. He said, I'm going to get under him all night. I'm going to cut his knees off. So, I mean, I was pretty confident now. I said, okay, let's go for it. Because I was thinking we're going to run away from him, you know. But yeah. One of the things when you look at him, his pursuit was so good. But right at him, he was a little – he wasn't soft, but he was – and, you know, we based susceptible. Everything there, not so much how we were going to pass the ball, but how we run it because we were wishbone and all. And so you got to always have some kind of plan for the best players because you can't let them dominate. You know, like Barnett last year had a heck of a game against us.
Sure.
Gracious. Yeah. And we had to work around it. But I would say this. Everybody's been talking about our line and everything. I think our line's really coming along, getting better all the time. And that when you do that and you don't see the penetration, which we talked about key to the game is don't let them hit us on our side of the ball. You see these human projectiles coming out of the backfield. You got Chubb, then you got Michelle, then you got Swift coming at you, but they're hitting them on the other side of the line of scrimmage. Those guys are hard to tackle now.
Yeah. Well, and Brady and I talked about it while we were down there. Some of those holes they were opening up were bigger than some I could remember in a long time. I mean, it was some of the better line play from that perspective that
exactly.
I've seen.
And especially in the interior, which was supposed to be Mississippi State's strength.
Right.
And Michael Galliard was – I mean, I saw him open up. You know, he pushed one guy out, so that A gap was wide open. The other gap was wide open. And then he goes and hits a middle linebacker. And Brian Herrien, who I thought was supposed to go up the middle, runs to the left and gets tackled at the line of scrimmage. But I'm like, had he run up the – oh, my God. But point being, the interior line, and before Saul McKinley got hurt, you know, which we thought might be a little questionable against those big Mississippi State guys, they were throwing him around, and everything up the middle was open.
It was good, and a lot of that was scheme, too, because we're using different personnel groupings, which – you put certain guys in the game, you know, your tendencies to do this as compared to when you have others in. And I think we went against our tendencies some, and they were playing more outside. And the combination of at least a tie opened up the hole, and then the fact that they were playing outside helped us too. And it was just a really good game plan conceived by our offensive staff.
Well, Cheney had Grantham's number, and the execution was top-notch as well.
We had that scouting report on the 42 points. Everybody didn't know that.
That's true.
You nailed it, and I mentioned halfway through after they'd scored on back-to-back possessions, like, Coach Dunn mentioned that Jim Cheney dropped 42
gets in his
Grantham.
Head. Gets it, in
he
his
does.
Head.
It's just like, here's that
you say,
guy.
What's that got coming with me next, man? Yeah.
But to that point, when you're talking about the running backs hitting the linebackers on their side of the field, when DeAndre Swift comes out of the backfield, it looks like he's running a 100-meter race, and he's at the 20 or 30-meter mark because he is so full speed when he comes out of there.
Yeah, his acceleration is that.
And there's no way you're going to tackle him backwards. So if he's getting to your outside line, I mean your inside linebacker, you know, in those middle gaps, it's going to be a 5-yard gain.
Yeah,
exactly. Minimum.
And the other thing he's thinking – I better make the most of this. I might not need to get another carry for a couple minutes here. And that's not being funny. It's just the reality is when you're called upon to make a play and you got some pretty good depth, you need to make it because you might not get another chance because the other two guys just have a better resume of what they've done in the past. But I think that's going to continue.
That's a good lead in. I'm glad you said that because the question that we've got here, it's one that we're going to keep getting. I know until any of this, any of until it's answered on the field. Josh Lancaster wants to know, he says, Coach, if Eason is ready to go 100%, do you put him back out there against Knoxville, or do you play the hot hand?
I think that's something that everybody's – even people, you go in the grocery store, they ask me that, like I think I'm supposed to know. But I would say this, that – and you had the scouting report on his injury about, you know, 4 to 6 weeks and all that. I don't know what his situation is as far as being 100%. Based on the timing, it would be hard for him to be 100%. I think that's something we might talk about more next week than this week, but if he's ready to go, then that's a different situation. And I base it on this, not just the fact that we're winning and all that, but the fact that he had all spring and all fall to beat out Jacob, and he didn't do it. So in the coach's mind, this guy gave us the best chance to win going into the season, but now we've had a lot of good things happen with when this kid took the opportunity. So you got to weigh that. How much difference are we going to give up getting Jacob back in the flow of things? But he does present a lot more problems for the defense with his big arm and his, you know, ability to throw the ball down the field. And that's going to be something that the defenses are going to pick up on, because as good a quarterback as Fromm is in a lot of areas, his lack of arm strength is going to hurt him when teams are covering guys. But when he's got to play action, they don't cover him as good. But I think right now it's hard to take Fromm out just because of the, you know, you look at our schedule. I mean, and I know we're talking about don't overlook Tennessee, don't overlook Vanderbilt, but, hey, some of these teams now don't impress me too much now. No. When you look at Missouri, sure. And, wow, Missouri, I mean –
That looks like a dumpster fire right now.
Yeah, they've gone back to the stone.
Since Tennessee didn't look good last weekend, you beat them, and hopefully Vanderbilt's been –
let's don't get ahead of ourselves. But I think,
I'm saying.
But I think the more –
the East looks ripe for
it. Yeah, it's there. The more Jake plays and we win, and we're going to win probably – you know, after these couple of weeks, regardless who's playing. But the more he plays in these two games, it's going to be harder to do. But because you don't want to disrupt the rhythm. But you owe it to the kid that beat him out to give him a chance to do it in practice. So that's the only fair way to do it. I mean, for instance, they didn't waste any time putting Parrish back in there. But he didn't have the competition that this kid.
Well, and I was going to ask you about that rhythm and the chemistry. You know, how much of this is just – keeping what you got going, you know, how much can a quarterback change really throw that kind of
I don't think situation? I don't think it hurts from the standpoint of we're doing the same plays with both of them, and the fact that they invested a heck of a lot and made a move to bench a guy that did a pretty good job the year before, last year, putting Eason in there, and he's got 12 games vested in this system, and he had a terrific fall. So the general tendency is, hey, don't disrupt it, but let's don't give away the fact that this Eason kid's very talented and improved dramatically from last year to this year in some of the things that you're talking about that Jake is focused on. That was something that Eason was lacking a little bit last year. The talent was there, but he didn't have the field generalship on it, and we didn't see him change in plays near as much as Jake has been able to do. But he can do that now, so I'm for both of them. I think they both can help us. I've seen them both do really good things in practice, and I don't see many practices, but
well, I could see a situation, though, where if Eason gets back in the game, every incomplete pass becomes a referendum on him, and why not bring back Fromm? And
who cares? He's a coach.
I know. I'm just saying.
Let me ask you this. Do you think when the guy with his job resting on everything that he's not going to play the one he feels gives the best chance?
Oh, no, I know he is. I'm just saying.
But, I mean, and people can
but my point is people will misunderstand it, yeah.
They can dissect it all they want. I think they're underrating Jacob Eason a little bit.
Agreed.
By that standpoint, and they might be overrating Fromm. As good as he's played, you know, he's really good. I really think he's good, but I don't think
– yeah, and you can't coach the game based on what the reaction is going to be of the fans. You know.
But what I've seen of the two – spring practice, fall practice, there was a reason that Eason was starting. Now, in these games, everybody just reflects to the first two series that Eason didn't look very good. But, well, hey, that's part of the deal.
Eight plays of the season.
But
the offensive line didn't look good either.
But the line didn't help him. We didn't bench the guy that missed the guy cold on it when they ran that pass. So,
yeah.
But I think we're wasting a lot of breath here. I don't know that he's going to be ready this week. I hope he is. And
well, it's a good problem to have, you know.
I'd a whole lot rather be talking about that than saying, "How in the hell did we lose to Vanderbilt?"
And Michael Cagle makes a great point here. He says,
"You know, I'm talking about that thing. If that's the worst problem we got, two guys like that, then yeah, we're in pretty good shape."
If your debate is which five-star quarterback should we be playing right now?
Yeah,
that's not
the worst.
That's a hell of a lot further removed than last year.
Michael Cagle, I think, makes a great point.
What do you got, Michael?
He says, let's see the O-line give Eason the same pocket that it's giving Fromm, and then compare, because obviously I think they're playing a lot better than they were last year.
Right.
Certainly.
That's the whole offense is just better right now. Every aspect, receivers are better routes. You got more. You're not near as worried about your defense. Last year, our defense was giving up a lot of big plays, a lot of passing. And so, you know, every play's life or death, because if you get behind last year, it's hard to catch up.
Our stat crew pointed this out. Dave McMahon, who's here, pointed out that
Dave, the man, he's
through the
got
first
it.
Four games last year, Georgia was giving up 30 points per game.
Right.
First four games this year, Georgia's giving up 11.5 points per
game. So, I mean, you're not playing from behind and,
And what you said earlier about the punting, you know, and the defense. Think about it, if you're an offensive coordinator and you're like, okay, we're behind or something like this. Knowing that you can punt it back, there's probably not going
to
be a return.
It's okay
you
to
might
punt.
Flip exactly, and your defense is probably going to hold them. They might not be able to punt it back as far as you are. So punting away, you might actually get a net 10, 12 yards.
Right. If we go back to the first show we had on here, we talked about waist downs and how last year when we would try a waist down, like we did the other day, third and two, when we threw the touchdown pass, and we didn't make it. We were terrible on third and two.
Yep.
So you don't call a lot of waste downs, and you don't make a lot of big plays. But the more you can use those plays where everybody in the stadium thinks it's a run and then you throw it, or everybody thinks it's a pass and then you run it, that helps you your flexibility and that helps your play calling. And that's helped Coach Chaney. And I took up for him a little bit because we're coaching around some problems in the offensive line. We're coaching with a freshman quarterback that can't change plays much and all that last year. So it's just a whole lot better finished product out there on the field to me. And the defense, too, having the ability to run more defenses. You know, when you're behind and you're worried about giving up big plays because your offense can't score much, Jake, then you don't maybe try as many defenses because you want to be base and make them beat you. But now we're lining up some things that if I'm the other team's quarterback, say, what in the hell are they in right
yeah.
now? So they got nickel people in, but they got a five-man rusher. They got their goal line defense, but they're playing a three-man rush. I mean, they got a lot of flexibility there.
It has been confusing even for me when I'm down on the sideline. I tend to watch the Georgia's opponent from the backside. In other words, so when the defensive ends come around and get a sack, I get a clear picture of it, and I can't see it from that, you know, the press box level. But when I'm like looking at the personnel out there, I'm getting confused. I'm like, what is Georgia in right now? I don't understand what they're doing. And then all of a sudden, they get a cornerback blitz comes in from the side, or the safeties come up, and all of a sudden Julian Rochester Ledbetter is in the backfield. And I'm like, how did he get free and nobody touched him?
There's the other point. Conversely, if your offense is scoring points, then you can freewheel it a little bit better on defense too. I mean, you can say, look, we're coming after this guy. We got a chance to cut their throat right now. We got a chance to put this game away. We're going to go after them, and we can cover these guys. You know, you talk to your secondary guys, and what a game 18 had out there covering people on the edge. I mean, he was just tremendous.
Jarrell Reed leads a team in tackles in that game.
Well, you hope that your safety can be a leading tackler, just like Roquan, but that's just another example of really smart recruiting by Coach Tucker and Kirby running the show. But this is not just a love fest here. I'm just trying to talk to you about
– well, there's not a whole lot of critique right now.
You got to coach around what your team can do and what they can't do. And right now, we're very efficient on offense, got a tremendous kicking game, and our defense is King Kong.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to go against these guys if you're behind the sticks. If you got second long or third and long against this team, hey, go over there and get a Powerade.
It's going to be a long day at the office.
Well, I'm going to take that Powerade break to talk about one of our sponsors here.
All right, let's go.
It's Athens Ford. The Athens Ford, you see they have this little Raptor truck here, which you can actually buy these out there. Athens Ford is the home of the lifetime powertrain warranty. You get a new car out there, and the deductible, if say you need a new transmission, deductible on their powertrain warranty deal, it's $100.
Yeah.
And you can actually get that powertrain warranty on a used car.
Call me.
Excuse me.
Call me Athens Ford.
Pre-owned. Yeah. So if it's under 8 years or 80,000 miles, you can get that added on to your pre-owned car. And the reason I'm bringing up, you know, you're talking about King Kong and top performances. If you go by Athens Ford this Saturday at 2:30, they have a cornhole competition.
Oh, they're doing this even on the away game.
They're doing this on the away game.
Okay,
exactly.
Cool.
So you can go out there, and if you're a badass, you can go out there and you win this cornhole competition they have. I think they're taking the top two teams. Then they have an ultimate competition later on in the year. You can get a $500 prize pack from them. They have the tailgate, the Yeti cooler, all this fantastic stuff. So, you know, EuroPie has the one sponsored by Coke. Athens Ford has the big prize pack sponsored by Athens Ford. And, you know, these people, as excited as Georgia fans are, they'd be just as excited to pick up a truck from, you know, one of those Ford F-150s from Athens Ford. Because just the satisfaction, man, they are ranked. This is the third year they've won the President's Choice for consumer satisfaction.
Yeah.
And that's voted on by the people that buy them. This isn't the owner or, you know, the president going, oh, who do I like the most? I'm going to give it to, oh, yeah, my buddies at Athens Ford. This is voted on by the people who have bought trucks and vehicles from Athens Ford. So be sure to swing by
Georgia Ford. Saturdays, built Ford tough.
Yeah, exactly. And they're the only Ford dealer in Athens. So when you hear other people talking about it or on your way to Athens, no, you come to Athens, you go out, you know, Atlanta Highway across from Sonic, pick a stop at Athens Ford. Those people will take great care of you, just like Founders Beer is taking great care of us.
Absolutely.
And I'm telling you.
And I'm getting ready to take care of some EuroPie pizza as well. And maybe put some Champies tenders on top. Real quick, before we wrap things up here. Game picks. I don't think anybody – I think I probably know the answer here. But, Coach, your pick for the winner this weekend.
You talking about in the Florida Vanderbilt game?
Actually, no. Yeah, I would like to know
that. That was a rhetorical question. Hey, I feel good about our – you know, I feel good about everything about it. And I like the way things are branching out, too, thinking ahead. Playing Vandy at 12 o'clock or 11 o'clock Central is so much better than playing them at night up there. Yes. Just the fact that we ought to be able to be win this game and then play that game and get some rest. I like the way things are going here, and I feel good about – this team is grounded, and they, you know, they watch the tape. They know what the other team has. We just got to understand that this rivalry here, you know, sometimes the best team doesn't win. I mean, I really felt like we were a lot better than they were two times, and we lost to them, and I felt like we might not have been as good, and we beat them.
Yeah,
you know,
when you
beat them
on that Pig Howard drops the ball going in the end zone in overtime, I mean, I thought Georgia should have lost that game if he had not fumbled or whatever.
Yeah, and I mean, how much different of it is a game with Nick before Nick Chubb's injury?
Yeah,
I think we need to get a petition up there. The Georgia fans there, if we have as many, close to as many that went to Notre Dame, they just need to pass the hat up there and give them some money and buy them a turf field. Say, so, you know, obviously you can't afford a turf field. You got all this shade in here, and any mongoloid idiot would know you can't grow grass when you got all this shade. So give me a turf field. Somebody donate one. Thunder, what's that guy's name? Thunder, whatever his name is. He's got the airplanes they use to recruit. Thunder, give him some turf.
Well, to that point, when we were at the press conference yesterday with Kirby Smart, I was in the back with my hand up, and they called last question before they got to me. But my question was going to be, Kirby, are you concerned about that field up there? Now, granted, I know they take them up and they put down new fields.
Well, you can't talk about it and get it in the player's mind, but at the same time, I'm concerned about it. I mean, yeah. I talked to Ron Corson about it. I mean, they need to do – I mean, the conference needs to step in. Take some of this SEC money and buy them a field.
I will say, last time we were up there 2 years ago, I had a chance to go down on the field pregame, and it was – it was chewed up.
I tweeted out a photo of the field before the game started.
It was chewed
and I said,
up.
Look, this is garbage.
This is
it was chewed all to hell.
It's embarrassing.
And then he gets hurt. But not only that one, the 2 years prior when Georgia was up there, you lose Keith Marshall, Justin Scott Wesley, and Michael Bennett in one game. So in two games, you lost four players, some of, you know, for the year. And
we don't know how many of these other people.
And then they said, okay, well, we put in a new, you know, because they'll take out the whole sod and everything and put in a new one. So I get us a new field.
Well, if they're going to get a field, come down here and let Joe Peters and our people put it in for them, because we put one in Florida State 2 weeks ago. They had a problem on theirs.
Oh, yeah.
And before they got, so they're probably blaming that on Georgia because they lost the home game. But Joe.
Good job, Agent Peters.
Joe can put in a good field for them and, Brent McEwen, who's his guy that goes out there with him, hey, put in one of those. Go, they get their sod out of Alabama, just put it on 18 wheeler and take it up. They can put it in a day.
You're going with Georgia, I take it.
I'm going with Georgia. Yeah,
he's
big
not gonna
time.
Pull Aaron Murray because he knows better.
Roddy,
no, we need a score prediction. That was one of the questions.
I don't have the score now. I can't do that. I don't have enough energy to think about. I can't. That takes too much energy from me. I mean.
See, I knew we should have got Ray Goff. He's got
Ray's got energy.
Man. He got that new heart.
He can't come in here though. He's a Zaxby's guy.
Yeah. Roddy, I think I know who you're going to pick. But.
I'm more concerned about this game simply because I've been. This is my 23rd year covering Georgia. I've seen too many times where everything is going right and then they lay an egg, just like Mississippi State did. And so I'm more concerned about this game than I should be. Objectively, I don't see Georgia's defense falling apart from week to week. I expect them to, and
don't worry about the history.
Tennessee hasn't shown me anything for me to fear. I imagine Georgia coming in, especially with that loss last year, fresh on their mind, coming for a little payback. They shut down Tennessee's offense. Worst case scenario, you got a healthy Nick Chubb trying to rewrite history in that stadium. I like Georgia handily in this game, but I've just known that historically.
Can't put asterisks.
Yeah, it just scares me. I'm picking Georgia. I will be scared until the final whistle blows.
Sure.
You know, what do you got?
Well, like Drew French said, he was worried even Georgia was up.
You got
31-3.
I doubted Georgia last week. I thought that Mississippi State would have give them a pretty good fight. I thought that that was a team we didn't know a lot about. I feel like four games into the season now, we know a pretty good bit about this Georgia team, and I also think we know a pretty fair amount about this Tennessee team. And the fact is, I just don't think they're very good. They're really struggling right now. And meanwhile, on the flip side, Georgia's hitting on all cylinders.
And
they played their most complete game of the year last week.
If we can jump out, their fans are going to bad up there.
Disappeared for them.
But I got to end on the Tennessee joke here. There's a guy in prison. There's two of them, one from Georgia, one from Tennessee. And they both got their last death wish from the warden. Said, you can have anything you want. You're getting ready to get executed. And the guy from Tennessee said, I want to hear Rocky Top one more time. Guy from Georgia said, kill me first.
Oh, that's the perfect ending note. That's all you need to know.
Hey, Rocky Top my ass.
And with that, we will end the UGA Sports Live podcast. Be sure to tune in next Tuesday at noon here on the Facebook page of 11 Live Sports.
Make sure to like this. Make sure to share it. Make sure to check out the podcast on iTunes, Google Play. Shout out to Cable East, Champions, Yourpy, Athens Ford, Founders Beer.
365
Game Day. Everybody.
You guys got a good close.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Thank you so much
good
for tuning
energy.
In.
Good energy.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.